Hi, welcome everyone. You are on the Navigating the Gluten-Free Holidays teleclass. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Heather Wieda. I'm a co-founder of Mommy Bites with my business partner, Laura. As you all know, people can type in questions throughout this class. I will be feeding them real time. I'll remind you all how to do that throughout this class. I also want to just give a huge shout out and thank you to our expert on today's teleclass, Ayelet Huber. She is a pediatric RDMS at NYU Langone. Am I pronouncing that right, Ayelet?
Yep, that's right.
Langone Medical Center's Celiac Disease and Gluten-Related Disorders Program. So we have a lot to get to, so we're going to jump right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about what gluten sensitivity / celiac is and what it looks like?
Sure. Hi, everyone. It's so good to be with you all. So celiac disease and gluten sensitivity are actually two different things. Celiac disease is an autoimmune disorder, and gluten sensitivity is popping up a lot more often these days, and we really don't have a specific test for it. We just find that some people have a hard time tolerating gluten. They have some belly aches, they have abdominal pain, but it's more difficult to diagnose the gluten sensitivity. Specifically with celiac disease, we see a lot of abdominal distension, diarrhea, constipation, and even some less obvious signs like rashes on the skin or poor growth or hair, nails not growing properly. So those are some of the big signs that we look out for celiac disease.
And Ayelet, can you talk a little bit about what parents should look for when they're looking at signs in children if it's full-blown celiac and when and how they should get tested?
Sure. So, you know, it manifests differently in every kid. Interestingly enough, we see some kids who have no symptoms at all, and they come to us pretty late in life, and maybe they just haven't grown to their full potential. Maybe they're having some bone issues, poor bone growth. And then we have some really obvious ones, the little babies who have big bellies or who are complaining of belly aches all the time. So everything from, you know, a skin rash that is not really common to, you know, vomiting and diarrhea, these can all be signs of celiac disease and is a good idea to just check with your pediatrician and have a basic blood test to rule it out.
So that's the test. It's just a blood test, and that's how you can tell.
Sure. We can actually rule out celiac disease with a basic blood test, and if that blood test is negative, then we're all good to go, and it's not celiac disease. If it's positive, then from there we take some more steps, usually an endoscopy and a visit with a GI doctor just to check everything out and be certain that it is celiac disease.
And then is there a way to tell for children if they just have a gluten sensitivity, or is that just something that parents just look for based on the signs that you just mentioned? I mean, is there a straight-up test for that as well?
So there's no test for gluten sensitivity, which is why it's somewhat of a tricky diagnosis to make. It really depends on how the child is feeling. If they're having some signs and symptoms that we suspect are related to gluten, then eliminating the gluten is a good way to see if those signs and symptoms disappear. Then it's a good hunch that it might be a gluten sensitivity. If they continue, then we can feel a little bit safer saying that it maybe is something else. It's not necessarily gluten. But with a sensitivity, there's really no test. It's really just anecdotal.
Got it. Okay. And so obviously, and this is more and more in the news, there are people who elect to go gluten-free for no medical reason. How is that different from kids who have to truly amend their habits because of medical necessities?
Yeah, this is a big deal these days. It's definitely in the news and in the media, but this is a really big distinction here. Celiac disease is very different from just, you know, electing to go gluten-free. Celiac disease is actually an autoimmune disorder. So in children or adults who have celiac disease, when they ingest gluten, they actually are putting themselves at risk for some further issues down the line. It's risky for development, for neurologic development, for bone growth, for vitamin deficiencies. And so when a person with celiac disease ingests gluten, they're actually putting themselves at risk for all of these things. Whereas a person who's just electing to go gluten-free, well, there's really no association with any change in their health status when they do that.
Got it. Okay. And I just want to pause for a moment. I want to welcome people that are just joining us. I want to remind you that if you have any questions, you can type them in on the Q&A form on the landing page. And it's anonymous if you want. You can ask as many questions as you want, and I'll try to get to as many as possible, and I'll try to get to them real time. So as they come through to me in the order they come through. I actually have one that's just come in. So let's touch on this before we move on to some of the more holiday-themed and eating choices. So this parent wants to know, can you ask the expert her opinion on children with ADHD going gluten-free or reducing gluten? I've read a lot of in the news about the correlation between ADHD and high gluten diets.
That's a great question. You know, there's a lot of evidence that's popping up about diet and ADHD, and even just various diets with other developmental disorders or conditions. The interesting thing is that the evidence really can go both ways. There might be some studies that show an effect and some studies that don't show an effect. As of now, I generally don't recommend it for the average child with ADHD. That being said, if a parent really feels confident that taking gluten out of the diet has shown some changes, then I think that's really important to note. And at that point, I would say the parent might know best. And even though we don't have sound scientific evidence to prove a correlation, if a parent really feels like it's made a significant difference, then I think that that's really valid. And I think the next step would be to meet with a registered dietitian to make sure that even with a gluten-free diet, you're hitting all of those really key nutritional needs for development for the child.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. We've done different classes over the past few years on healthy eating and dietary changes with kids specifically. And I think it's super, super important to involve your pediatrician and get the name of a really good dietitian, because I think sometimes well-meaning parents think, okay, I'm just going to remove gluten and take this whole, you know, part of my child's diet out without going to a nutritionist. And I think it can be tricky and maybe not the best health advice. And there's also ways to do it. You know, we had one class a while back, and there's ways to do it without having the child wake up one day and say, okay, you can't have pasta, bread, all that jazz. Or, you know, they replace it with just gluten-free versions, which is also necessarily not ideal. So, you know, this class we had a while back was talking about how you can make dietary changes by adding on more protein, adding on more fruits and vegetables rather than a diet of just takeaway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, always whenever there are changes being made, I think a progression is really important, and phasing it in a way that makes the child feel comfortable is really crucial. And also just paying attention to the overall diet, right? So we might focus on taking things away, but it's just like you said, it's important to make sure that we're still hitting protein needs, vitamin needs, fiber needs, and all of that still remains really crucial, even if there's some dietary changes going on.
Exactly. Yeah, it's super important. If anybody has any questions on that, I can find the class we went over on healthy eating for kids. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the holidays. And I think that although we're coming, you know, into traditional holiday season, I think we can use this as a framework to talk about really family gatherings throughout the year, birthday parties, weddings, all that jazz, where kids are in an environment where it's kind of party time or celebration time. So let's kind of think about that under that big umbrella. So I know that holidays and food do go hand in hand, and what should kids with celiacs avoid, or even what should kids that are you're trying to limit their gluten intake avoid?
Sure. Holidays can be really tricky, especially when family and friends are involved. And so there's, you know, aspects of social life, and then there's aspects of the eating that really go hand in hand. So I think being honest is really crucial about this, and sitting down with your child, if it's appropriate for their age, and discussing expectations during the holiday season or for a specific birthday party or family gathering. And really, you know, I tell people to really look out during this time period for cross-contamination, which can really sneak up on you. And so those with celiac disease have to be extra careful with that. So we, you know, we might have great Aunt Betty who made this great gluten-free cake and brings it to the family gathering. But those with celiac know that just because it's gluten-free doesn't mean it hasn't come in contact with some other forms of gluten in the cooking process. And also that not everyone has the same standards of gluten-free. And so we really want to avoid all those pitfalls. We want to avoid the cross-contamination. We want to avoid those stressful situations and prepare our kids to know exactly what to expect when they walk into a family gathering.
What can you talk a little bit about this cross-contamination and how that can affect someone with full-blown celiac? Because I think sometimes people have a lot of, especially in restaurants and when they're out, a lot of questions on that.
Sure. So cross-contamination is basically when an item comes in contact with gluten. And that also then becomes dangerous for someone with celiac disease. So even if it isn't a big component or even an ingredient, if it's come in contact with gluten, it's still considered to be contaminated and not safe for someone with celiac disease to then eat. So some of the really common forms of cross-contamination might be, for example, say sharing, you know, a knife to cut the gluten-free cake and the regular cake. So that's a surefire way to get some cross-contamination in there. Maybe sharing a knife that was used on a piece of bread and then putting it into the peanut butter container, right, and using it on the gluten-free bread. There's some contamination issues there. And, you know, cross-contamination is really poorly understood by those without celiac disease because it's so difficult to really understand the consequences of it. So, you know, it's a big issue, and I think, again, just preparing the kids to understand all the ways that it could possibly sneak into their meals is really important.
And Ayala, I have another question that's been typed in. So this parent wants to know, she's read a lot about gluten-free diets for children that are not truly celiacs causing them to develop celiacs. So she's asking if you can talk a little bit about that.
Interesting question. There isn't a lot of evidence that would point to that happening. You know, I don't see that very often or even at all, actually. I don't know that being on a gluten-free diet will impact your risk for celiac disease. Being that it's an autoimmune disorder, it's, you know, not something that, you know, the diet actually won't affect your chances of developing it at all.
Okay, so to this mom, it obviously check with your doctor and see a dietitian, but it's not, you don't have to be in kind of panic mode. If you've decided as a family to limit or take your child off gluten, you don't have to worry about that turning into quote unquote celiac.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Got it. Okay. And, you know, along those same lines about family dialogues and family thinking, how would you suggest families talk to relatives and friends about what their child can and can't eat? That's tricky because, as you just said, people sometimes don't understand it. And also I think that when people are preparing dishes for events like this, it's such an act of love and they spend a lot of time on it. So sometimes if you show up, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes people can get hurt feelings or they can say, well, it's not like it's a peanut allergy. What's the big deal if you have a little bit? So how can we educate those loved ones around us?
Yeah, great question. That's really going to depend on the age and the progression for your child. If it's a really young child that with celiac disease, you know, you'll want to take all that on yourself and discussing it with the family. If it's a child is a little bit older and is able to understand what's going on, you might want to involve them in the conversation. And again, honesty is just so important. Explaining to family both ahead of time and during the event can be really important. And if your child is at the right age, to involve them in that conversation also. Rather than just talking about them, you know, bring them into the conversation and have them share with the family members their experience with being gluten-free, and also remembering to praise them, remembering to share with the family how great your child's been doing with the transition and how beautifully they've been growing since going gluten-free. And you might also want to consider setting a standard in the family and saying, you know, we appreciate everyone's concern, but we're actually only going to eat our own food when we come to this event. That way we don't offend anyone. That way no one is really singled out, and everyone is, you know, loving and means well, but, you know, we're just going to eat our own food during this specific event.
Right. That makes sense. That's a great idea. So I'll just share with the group. So my dad actually has celiac, and he was diagnosed later in life, so it's quite serious because, you know, he went many years without being diagnosed. And my son has a sensitivity, but not celiac. So, you know, what we do is I never want to make more work for people. You know, I know what it's like to try to host. So to show up and all of a sudden say, oh, well, we can't have this and we can't have this. Can you make this? And can you do a piece of grilled chicken and, you know, all this stuff. So we try to kind of just play it super cool and not make a big deal. And I always let my son choose, you know, a special dessert that he loves, and I'll just throw it in my bag. And then I always throw another one for my dad because I know he can't have it. And then, you know, I'll just do something easy, like, you know, I will bring like my own little thing of chicken or whatever, put it in my bag, and like it doesn't have to be a big, you know, a big to do. I don't have to draw attention to it. And I found that children are surprisingly cool about it, especially if they are involved in the decision and choice making.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. Involving the kids is so important. You know, if there's a special holiday meal or treat that the kids are involved in baking and they want to share it with everyone, that can be a really great tool to use to just show everyone how excited they are to share their gluten-free foods that they've made and how involved they are, and really just how cool they can be with food, exactly what you're saying, just really hang out and talk about food in a really healthy and exciting way.
Okay, and here's my major tip that I'll share with people for birthday parties, even to bring into school or for family events, and we actually just did this over Thanksgiving. So Baked by Melissa, and I think they ship all over the country now. I know I think they're New York-based, but they do ship all over the country. Baked by Melissa is gluten-free now, and it's super easy, and you can do it online, and they show up packaged, and we brought a bunch of gluten-free little mini cupcakes for Thanksgiving, and they were the hit of the party. I mean, they went before any of the other desserts. So there's kind of ways to just kind of bring it in and make it not a big deal and make it so other people can just be a part of it.
That sounds great. That sounds like a really fun, exciting way to deal with that. Absolutely.
So moving right along, and again, I want to remind people, if they have questions, do feel free. We've gotten two good ones so far. Do feel free to type them in. You can do them anonymously if you'd like. But okay, so along these same lines of involving the family in the process, what are some tips for kids who are looking around the buffet table? This is a good one, for safe foods. So either at a family event where all the food's out or at a restaurant buffet, what can they look for?
That is a tough question. You know, to be honest, I would encourage that we actually try to avoid this scenario. Just like you're saying, to bring their own food and not make a big deal out of it, I think that's so important. And, you know, we want to try to avoid that situation where the child is looking around kind of helplessly thinking about what to eat, because that can be really hard. It can be hard to avoid the temptation to eat like everyone else, and it can be hard for the child to kind of struggle with what the right thing is to do. So we definitely want to try to avoid that. That being said, especially around the holidays, you never know when a buffet is going to pop up, if it's a birthday party or a school. And so, you know, some safe foods are always, I would just say, stick with the produce if you can. Stick with some fresh fruit, steamed veggies, really things that you can tell exactly what's in them. If you don't know how something was made, I would stay away from it. You know, if there's a chicken with a sauce that we can't really identify, I would definitely stay away from it. So, you know, just go with the really colorful fruit and the really colorful veggies. And, you know, just use that for now. And then when you get home, that's when you have your opportunity to really have a more well-rounded meal.
And, you know, I always do stuff like that. I always, again, when I'm out with my dad, I always do this. And when I'm out with my son, I always throw into my bag just some of those little gluten-free rolls, which are kind of just a fun way. If you're sitting with everyone and everyone else is eating the bread basket, and, you know, again, he's unfazed by it. He puts the butter on it. He's good to go.
Exactly. If you have those handy go-tos with you, that's always really helpful.
And so it's obviously a change in lifestyle, but it doesn't have to be a complete downer, as we've discussed. Can we talk about how to make delicious dishes so that everyone can celebrate together? So up until now, we've talked about when we're out and other people have prepared, but what are some things that people can make together to bring to family events?
Yeah, that's great. You know, always focusing on the things that we can eat is always a little bit more fun than the things that we can't eat. And so getting the kids involved in cooking something safe is a great idea. And it's always important to go back to basics, right? So, you know, fruits, vegetables, protein, these are all things that are naturally gluten-free, so we should really take advantage of them. So a nice lean protein dish, a nice grilled chicken with some quinoa and veggies is always a great thing to do, great way to clean out your kitchen sink, any vegetables that are lying around, throw in there. You could steam them, saute them, add some spices. And, you know, ask the kids, what colors do you want to see in your quinoa salad tonight? Do you want to see red with peppers? Do you want to see green with cucumbers, you know, and have them be a part of it. And you know, just use those nice natural ingredients that we often forget about. Because being gluten-free, really, it just kind of forces you to have actually a healthier diet, ultimately. So we should, you know, really embrace those natural foods.
And are there, as we're preparing foods, are there some kind of hidden places we should be careful of as we're preparing foods, like soy sauce? And, I mean, are there some other ones that we should be aware of?
Yeah, soy sauce is a big one. Soy sauce, definitely. And then, you know, anything with a dressing or a sauce, or, you know, especially like a cream sauce, often has flour in it, believe it or not. You know, definitely in restaurants, it's pretty common. Even home cooking, often in sauces and marinades, we find sources of wheat. We could also end up with a sauce that has some malt vinegar in it or some mustard that isn't gluten-free. So definitely anything that you can't identify, I would stay away from. So it definitely tends to sneak up there. And then also, especially around the holidays, we find a lot of things that are breaded, right? So like chicken nuggets and stuffing, that kind of thing. So those are the obvious sources that we sometimes forget about. So we have to really go back to basics and look really carefully at what we're eating.
And I have a question that's just come in. Let me just read it. Okay. This parent wants to know, if her child was diagnosed with celiac, is it something that they can ever outgrow?
Great question. It is not something that they will outgrow. Because it's an autoimmune disorder, it actually is lifelong. And the great thing is that, you know, the medication is being gluten-free. And that's really the best way and really the only way to manage it. So setting a, you know, a good example and getting ready to be gluten-free for life is really the main priority for a newly diagnosed patient. But it's not something that they're going to grow out of. It's something that will be, gluten-free diet will be needed lifelong for sure.
And along those same lines, hold on, this is another question just coming in. Oh, if a child is tested for celiac and it comes back negative, is there a chance that years later it could be positive?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. You know, you want to talk to your healthcare provider, your pediatrician or your gastroenterologist. There are some other things to consider if it's maybe really prevalent in the family history, if there's some other relatives with celiac disease. It's possible that it wasn't, that the test was negative and a later date it could be positive. But there are also some other tests that can be used if that's the scenario. So that's a really important question for your healthcare provider.
So keep them in the loop.
Yes, definitely.
And are there some good websites that the parents on this teleclass should be aware of, either recipe sites or general information sites?
Yeah, let's see. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics has an eatright.org, has some great info on celiac disease. And also, to tell you the truth, you know, the mommy websites and mommy bites and that kind of thing can be so helpful. I'll tell you, the recipes that I get from moms in our clinic are always the best, and they're better than, you know, what I could come up with. They're really just real time, real life, really realistic. And so go ahead and explore the internet. You know, you want to avoid getting medical advice from the internet, but recipes are a great thing to really share with the community on chats, and celiac.org is a great one. So definitely feel free to get in there and look around for some great recipes.
And they're as you mentioned, they're not confusing, and they can be really straightforward, and kids love them. And also, when we've posted different recipes, we've been told that the siblings like them. It's, you know, they're the whole family likes them. They're not just for the child or the one parent that's affected.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, a great chicken recipe is good for everyone. You know, in the family, in the community, it's good for everyone. So absolutely, there's no need to be the short order chef at home. There's no reason to make dinners. Everyone can benefit from a really nice, healthy, well-balanced dinner that just so happens to be gluten-free. Absolutely.
This has been so great and so helpful. I can't thank you. And it's something that, you know, is I feel like coming up more and more. And I'm curious, is it that we just are hearing about it more, or is this something new in our society that it's occurring more because of our diets over years?
You know, that's the key question right now in the medical community. And there's a lot of conflicting information. We're really not sure. There might be some environmental factors, and there's some good evidence that certain environmental factors are increasing our incidence of celiac disease. On the other hand, it's becoming more popular in the medical community to even test for. And so we're seeing more pediatricians who are aware of it and might consider it more than they used to, you know, a decade or even less a few years ago. So I think that it's really multifactorial. I think there's a lot of things that are impacting the increasing rate of celiac disease. And I think at this point, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell exactly what the reason is. But stay tuned. I think the research is going to be really interesting in the coming years.
Agree. I completely agree. So, listeners, we have time for one more question. If anyone has any questions, feel free to type it in. And I want to just take this moment to also thank Ayelet Schieber again for joining us today from NYU Langone Medical Center. You have a department dedicated to celiac disease and gluten-related disorders. Is that right?
Yeah, so we have a whole GI center, but we also have a new and developing and up-and-coming celiac disease program and gluten sensitivity program. We have activities for kids. We have an interdisciplinary clinic, so the kids come and they see me, the dietitian. They also see a nurse practitioner and a social worker and a child life specialist. So we like to think that everyone is really involved, and that definitely seems to be improving the care overall for all of our kids. So it's a really exciting new program.
And will you email me that link so I can share it with everybody?
Sure. So you could go ahead and go to the NYU website, and you could find the GI team, and you could meet the GI team, and then you're going to want to go ahead into the celiac program link from there.
Okay. So I'll send that to everyone so you guys don't have to take notes while you're here, but I'll go ahead and send that to everyone. That is fantastic. And I know we have listeners from all over the country, but just to have a resource like that online is great. And for those of you that live in New York City, even better. So on that note, thank you all so much. And Ayelet, thank you again. This was awesome and incredibly helpful. I will be sending everyone a link to this taped class as well as resources. I'm going to follow up with Ayelet and get some links to different resources, some of the websites she mentioned, maybe some recipe sites. So that you guys can have just one email chock full of great information. I want to thank those of you that called in today, and I want to wish everybody a happy and healthy holiday season.
It's been such a pleasure. Thanks for all the great questions. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.